You know, we've been talking about character, and last week Pastor Josh talked about out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. And I think he's going to continue on a little bit with that theme tonight. It's amazing because one little slip of the tongue, and it never goes back in, does it? I mean, as soon as you say something, it's out there and it's doing, it's either creating or destroying. And as Christians, we want our tongues as well as our lives to radiate who Jesus is. Amen? So I want you guys just to prepare your hearts tonight because I think God wants to challenge us to not only act more like he acts, but to talk more like he talks. Amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. We have been talking about a call to character. Amen. A call to character. And we've been talking specifically, like Reed was saying, about our words, about speech. And if you just turn with your Bibles with me to Numbers chapter 12, we'll begin here. We're going to talk tonight about gossip and slander. The two sisters of Satan. Gossip and slander. The two sisters of Satan. Ooh. Numbers chapter 12. If you got it, say I got it. If you don't have a Bible, don't say anything. Come on, it's good to bring your Bibles to church. Amen. It's good to bring your journals so you can take notes so you don't forget what we say. Oh, right. Here we go. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife. Oh, my. What does that mean exactly? I think it's her nationality. For he had married a Cushite. Her name is Zipporah. It's a good name. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Everybody say, uh-oh. They begin to gossip and slander Moses. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, and all three of you. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. Oh my. He stood at the entrance of the tent, and he summoned Aaron and Miriam. They're like, sweet dude, something good's about to happen. He's in a cloud. He's happy. Okay. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. They're like, when a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses, for he is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Verse 9, the anger of the Lord burned against them. Bad day. Everybody say bad day. And he left them. Uh-oh. Then he wants to get out before he drops the nuclear bomb on them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy. He said to Moses, please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Verse 12. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from her mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. Yuck. Verse 13. So Moses cried out to the Lord, oh God, please heal her. The Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been discharged for 7 days? Confine her outside of the camp for 7 days. Until that day, she can. After that, she can be brought back in. So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on until she was brought back. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we ask you for your word to penetrate our hearts and our lives and to change us today, God, that today would be a new day. That, Lord, if we came in here with broken hearts, with hearts that were not ready, God, that our hearts would be ready. God, that our minds would be set forward, that we'd be set in tune with your word, God, that you would change us today. God, I pray for a miracle today in the lives of your people. that their hearts of and their lives would be so changed so radically, God, that you would just bring forth a harvest, God, of souls. You'd bring forth a harvest, God, of righteousness, and truth would come and be made known today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So, you know, Aaron's gotten himself into some trouble before with Moses, and there was one time when Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments and some good instruction from the Lord, and all of a sudden, down at the camp, Aaron listens to the voice of all the people, and they're like, where is this Moses guy? He just left us. Dude, you need to do something. That guy's a punk up there. You need to do something. We should just went back to Egypt. And so Aaron goes, all right, take all your jewelry off. Let's make ourselves a golden calf. Okay. Good idea, Aaron. Let's do that. So he forms a little golden calf. They have themselves a little party, and they worship this little golden calf, and Moses comes back down and saves their life. And because God was just like, Moses, dude, the people down there, they are just blowing it big time. I'm just going to just smoke them all, and we'll start over with you. Just call your wife up here. We'll get Joshua and Caleb, and we'll just start over. He's like, no, stop. Lord, you can't do that. But then he goes back down, and he sees him, and who's leading it? Nobody but his brother. His brother is entertaining slanderous thoughts about him, and all of a sudden, God's like, dude, I'm going to kill at least that one. At least that one, he's going down. And Moses is like, no, please. So God has mercy on Aaron, and he has mercy on all the Israelites. And even though they were gossiping and slandering and entertaining those thoughts and acting on them, he has mercy on them. But then we find ourselves in this story here where Moses is just chilling. He don't know nothing what's going on. He's just having a good time with Jesus in the tent. He's like, what's up? Having ourselves a Holy Ghost party up in his tent. And Miriam and Aaron are over there, his brother and sister. I don't think there was anybody in the Bible that was more slandered than Moses, except maybe Jesus. I mean, it seems like in every story, it's like somebody grumbling about Moses. He's one of the greatest leadership examples. And one of the things about who you're going to be in life, if you stand firm for something and you become great at something, or you excel in the Lord, I promise you, you'll be slandered and you'll be gossiped about. Because there's two things. Either people are just jealous, or they don't understand. And this is going to happen in your life if you take a stand for something. If you take a stand and you decide, this is who I'm going to be. I'm going to be someone who is righteous. I'm going to be someone who is holy in my words. Out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth is going to speak something good. You take a stand like that. You take a stand to live according to God's word and to live a life that is not like the world. I promise you, people are going to talk. They're going to talk about you. They talked about Moses. They talked about Moses. So don't be surprised if you take a stand and they begin to slander and gossip about you. But I want you to just think about this for a moment, is that they're alone and nobody hears them. Aaron and Miriam, do you know about that Moses guy? Our brother? Yeah, I remember him. Yeah. You know that chick he married? That Zipporah thingy? She's a Sitoli, a Shituli, whatever those things are over there. They make some racist comment about his wife, you know? They're like, and all of a sudden, who's listening? I'm telling you, God is, he is better than the CIA. He's better than the FBI. He's got the best wiretap there ever was. He's everywhere, all the time, hears everything. The Bible says in Matthew 12:36, and we talked about this last week, that it says that you must give account for every careless word. See, that's because he's got a wiretap on your thoughts. He doesn't only know the words when they come out, but he hears them before you even say them. That's a little bit scary. If you think about every thought that you've ever had or every word you've ever spoken, even if no one else heard them, or if your leader didn't hear them, if your teacher didn't hear them, if your boss didn't hear them, Your parents didn't hear them. There's one person that did, and it's God. Because he's everywhere, all the time, and all powerful. So what happens after they slander Moses and they just basically chew him up one side and down the other, even though he's not around? What happens? The Lord comes down, and he's got a few words to share with Miriam and Aaron about how he feels about the two sisters of Satan. Gossip and slander. He's got a few things to say. He says, you know, when a prophet of the Lord, you know, prophets are pretty weighty people, but I'm telling you right now, Moses is a whole lot heavier weight than those two. Those guys are just little light pounders. Moses is my man. He's the man of the hour. He's the man I called. You're not even afraid to talk about him? Oh man, you got another thing coming. You got a big surprise. Guess what? Death is coming your way. I just want to encourage you right now that God established leadership. God established authority. God established your parents where they are, your teachers where they are, police officers where they are. He established your pastors over you. God appointed them. Now, none of us might be quite as weighty as Moses, but I tell you what, that we are God's people placed in authority on purpose. And when you begin to speak and gossip and entertain slander, the Bible says, do not entertain slander unless of an elder, unless it's in the presence of two or three witnesses, people that actually saw it with their own eyes. Look, guys, it is a weighty thing to slander or talk bad about your authority. What happens to Moses? I mean, what happens to Miriam and Aaron is very serious. Aaron's lucky to be alive in the first place for the first one he did. It's like strike one, right? I can't believe he didn't just get smote on strike two. But God was gracious. And if you got leprosy in these times, you're dead, guys. There's no cure. There's no solution. You're a complete outcast. You're done. You can't live around anybody. You're not only going to be outcast and separated from the community and from the presence of God, but you're also going to die. Everybody say die. Ooh, that sounds great. Premature, Lord, let it happen. No. Come on. Nobody wants to die early, especially of a skin dissolving disease. It's gross. Now, but I want you to think about some of the things that happen. If you decide that you want to entertain gossip and slander, not only of an elder or not only of one of your leaders or someone in authority, but if you want to entertain that kind of thought and that kind of talk, guess what's going to happen? The same thing that happened to Miriam. It might not happen on the outside. God might just come up and just go, bam, and all of a sudden you're like, I'm as white as snow. It's not even December. What about winter? Now, you might not get hit up like that, but on the inside, I promise that a poison will begin to just penetrate your heart and your life, and it'll begin to destroy you on the inside. And what happens is that you not only break the trust between you and God when you slander either him or one of his creation, or one of his appointed authorities, one of his leaders, you not only break that trust between him, but you break it between your friend. If your friend comes to you, is like, oh man, I've really been struggling this week. Man, can I just share something? You're like, oh yeah, sure. Yeah, just tell me. I'm a safe place for you. And you just hear that and you're like, ooh. That's good. You go over to your friends, you get on your little MSN, you're like, oh, can you believe it? Tommy just came to me, and you just will not even believe what he told me. They're like, what? Tell me, sister. Wait, I just want to get a few more people together so we can all hear it. It'll be so much fun. They're like, okay, I'll wait. I really got to go to the bathroom. Anyway, so you go to the bathroom. You come back. Okay, I'm ready. You will not believe it. Tommy's dead. He was up last night, and he was really late at night, and he was struggling with, maybe I shouldn't tell you. No, no, I have to tell you. You know why? Because you need to be able to pray for him more accurate. So, okay. Come on. No, guys. The second that gets back to Tommy, Tommy gets out his Tommy gun. Right? He's like, dude, I just shared with you my heart, my life, and you stabbed me in the back. You too, Brutus. Now, Shakespeare, come on. Do you think Tom's going to come to you again with something? Do you think all the other people that were receiving your little MSN, your little instant message, it's so important, do you think they're going to trust you again? They're like, ooh, that was good. But I'm going to make sure I don't ever talk to Tim. Because if Tim would do that to Tom, Tim would do that to me, right? Listen, sin will separate you. You wonder why your prayers aren't heard. You're like, God, please, just hear me. Why don't you ever answer my prayer? You've been sleeping with the two sisters? Gossip and slander? Huh? How intimate do you know them? How much you've been sharing with them? How much you've been talking with them? Scary. Scary thought. But I want you to know that just as Miriam contracted leprosy and was separated from their community, and not only from the presence of God, the same thing will happen to you and me if we get caught up in gossip and slander. And really, more than just gossip and slander, it's sin. Because sin separates. Say, separates. Say it. Come on. Separates. Proverbs 16:28. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. I know that many of you, if you have not experienced it yourself, you've seen a movie about it. Friends being separated because of gossip and slander. Some of you might even have relationships today that you wish you could get back because you slandered them, or you gossiped about them, or they gossiped about you, or your friend, and you took up an offense against them because, oh my gosh, they talked about my friend's thing, and all of a sudden I just can never be friends with them again. Sin separates. It will isolate you from your community. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, and if you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn there, chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, this is what God thinks about gossip and slander. If it's not enough to just see the example of what he did in Miriam and Aaron's life, let's hear some important things that God has to say about gossip and slander. Do you not know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, that the wicked will not, say will not, won't. The wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. All the male prostitutes in the house say, glory to God, I've been transformed. This is what you were before, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You were changed to become like Christ. Now, if you just have a desire to be a Christian, you think you're a Christian, you want to be a Christian, you prayed the prayer, oh Jesus, fill my life, forgive me for my sins, oh God, you're the Lord of my life. I'm the Lord of your what? You're the Lord of my life. What? I said you're the Lord of my life, oh God. Please. Okay, I think I'm saved. And then you go out and get on your little MSN and start slandering and gossiping about somebody. No? Okay, wait a second. Back up. Hold on. Lord of my life, gossip and slander. No. These two don't mix. Okay, Jesus, Lord of your life, you're a Christian. Gossip and slander, you got a different daddy. Who is your daddy? Is your daddy the father of gossip and slander? The fifther of Satan? Who's your daddy? Because you're going to act, Jesus said, you'll act like your father. And your father's the devil. Who do you act like? It doesn't matter what you call yourself. Who do you emulate? The Bible says in Ephesians 5 that be an imitator of Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't sleep with the two sisters, guys. I promise you. His words were holy. Every single word, every thought, every deed was good, was righteous. Now, if you do ask him into your life and you repent for your sin and you turn from your ways. Oh, yes. And you become like Christ and make him the Lord of your life. Then, yes, you actually can live this way. It is possible for you. There's no compromise. It is possible for you. You can do it. The Bible says that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. But it's through Christ. You have to actually surrender and submit your life to him. Otherwise, you're not a Christian. You aren't a Christian. I know it's a secret. And everybody didn't really know. But now you know that you're not. It says that none of these people were into the kingdom of heaven. If you have Christ's name written on your heart, if you have surrendered your life to him, then the Bible says that you'll be cleansed from your sin, that you will be made righteous in him, and you will live eternally with him. That's being saved. But if you don't, if you live this way as the sexually immoral, the prostitutes and the slanderers, it says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because Christ is not your daddy. He's not your Lord. He needs to be your Lord. And through him, you can live this way. It's true. We're always going to struggle, guys. But listen, when you hear the truth, you know the truth, you have the power to change by the power of Jesus Christ that lives inside of you. You have the power to live greater. And it's in his name. It's in his name dwelling and living inside of you. Come on. That's exciting living. You can do it. You can live this way. What exactly is slander? Slander is malicious words designed to hurt or offend or disgrace someone. They're words that are spoken about people that are designed to disgrace, to tear them down, to hurt them, to offend them. What exactly is gossip? It's very similar. It's to tell people rumors or personal intimate facts about other people, especially to hurt them, to offend them, to be malicious. Man, I think every single one of us has been guilty of this. I know I have. But one thing I want you to think about is that the Lord not only paid the price for your transformation and your life and eternity, but he paid the price for you to be an example to others. And that as you walk out a life that is after Lucifer, Satan, hanging out with his sisters, then you begin to emulate something very different, and you begin to create with your words something very different, something very destructive. And as Reed said, you can't get that back. Just want to tell you a little story. And it starts out kind of like this, that once upon a time, a man said something to his neighbor that was untrue. The word spread around and throughout the whole village. And then, after some time, as people talked and and continue to talk and spread this rumor and this lie, all of a sudden, it came out that what this man said about his neighbor wasn't true. And all of a sudden, the guy was caught. Feeling bad for what he'd done, he went down to the priest. And he walks into the church and he goes to the priest. He tells him all what happened. He goes, yes, son, I know what happened. He said, this is what you need to do. And the priest gave him some different advice he didn't expect. And he said, listen, you need to get a bag full of feathers. He's like, feathers? Yes, feathers. So he takes those feathers and he says, you need to take these feathers and you need to place them on the doorstep of every single person that you know heard that story that wasn't true about your neighbor. And then the next day, I want you to pick up all those feathers and I want you to put them back in your bag and you bring them back to me and then we'll talk. He's like, okay, Father, I'll do this. And so he heads out the door and he gets himself a bag of feathers and he runs to all the doors and he puts them on every door he can possibly think of that would have heard the story that he told that wasn't true. And the next day he comes back and most all the feathers are gone. He can't find them. And he's going, he picks up as many feathers as he can find. He sticks them in his bag and he goes back to the church and he goes to the Father. He goes, Father, look, I looked everywhere. But the wind must have come up or someone must have taken them or they're just gone. All these feathers are just not there anymore. I just couldn't get them all back. And the priest says to the man who lied and gossiped and slandered his neighbor, and he said, so it is with all the words that you use that are careless. They're easy to go put out, but they don't come back easy. You can't retrieve them. They're gone. Once they're out, they're gone forever. But listen, you can ask for forgiveness for what you did. You can repent for what you did. But the words that you spoke, the damage is already done. You can't change it. Now, I want you guys to really think about your words. And we talked last week about out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. As a power of life and death, the proverb says that your tongue is a life, power of life and death. What are you creating? Who are you destroying? Once the damage is done, now you can go back and you can try to gather every feather you can, but there's damage that was done. And you do not have the power to change it all. It's serious business. Very serious business. You know, sometimes we get confused about what gossip and slander really is in our communities. Anytime you're talking about your friend, anytime you're talking about something personal they told you, and you share it with someone else that you know you shouldn't be, you're gossiping about them. You're slandering them. We do this so many times in our Christian communities, what we call Christian communities. We all gather together and we're like, oh, we need to pray for Sister Susie. She's really struggling with swearing. I know, it's so serious. Really? She is? She's struggling with swearing? Oh my. You know what? Come to think of it, I think I heard her cuss out the pastor the other day. Really? Yeah. And you know what? Oh, no, maybe I shouldn't. Yes, but I should tell you because, you know, we have to pray for her. So you really need to know it all. Because if you don't know it all, then you won't know how to pray for her. So she was cussing him out, and then guess what she did? Okay, let's pray. No, guys. That's gossip and that's slander. Sometimes, and most of the time we gossip and slander, we either don't know the whole truth or we only tell part of it. And basically, we're lying. The very core of it, we're liars when we do it. Because we're not telling the truth. We're not sharing the information accurately. And we're doing it in purpose to destroy somebody's life and to tear them down. I want to encourage you, this does not please the Lord. This is extremely destructive. The Bible says in Proverbs 10, whoever spreads slander is a fool. Everybody wants to be a fool. Raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says this. A gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid a man who talks too much. Proverbs 18:8 says, the word of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. You know, it's like this. It's like you're in this cafeteria, and you walk in the line, and there's a health inspector right in front of the line. And she says to you, she goes, listen, you can go ahead and eat in the cafeteria today, but watch out for the French fries. And watch out for that cake. Because they're poisonous. What? Like, dude, what kind of school is this? Poisonous French fries and cake? He's like, hey, just letting you know. You look up ahead, there's your buddy. The gigantic semi of a lunch lady's pouring French fries right on top of his plate. You're like, dude, that's my friend. So you scoot up and you start getting your cornbread, you're getting your chalupas, and what are those things? I don't know. And then all of a sudden she starts to get that first right. You're like, and your buddy goes, dude, everybody's doing it. Come on. I eat them all the time. You're going to be fine. Just eat them. So she sticks them on your plate, and you're like, whatever. You slide over, your buddy throws some cake on. You walk out the door, and you start looking around. You're like a little bit nervous. Who's this health inspector? And why is there poisonous food at my school? You start to look around, and you notice one table, these really nasty kids. And they're just all together, and all they got is French fries and cake. Nothing else, man. They're just hogging it down. You're like, ugh. You can't keep your eyes there very long because you think you might throw up before you eat your chalupa. You look at the next table, and all of a sudden you see a table full of like people that all have French fries and cake, but they also have their chalupas and their cornbread and some other food that is nutritious. Sort of. And it's there at their table, but you notice it as they're eating their fries and talking. They pick up a chalupa and they hold it like they're going to eat it, and they talk like it's important to them. And they pick up some water, but then they just keep talking. They set it down and keep eating their French fries and their cake. They're like, wow. The things that are healthy, they just never really actually consume. But they got them in their hand. They got them around them. Chalupa. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Christian because I rub my Bible on me every day. Woo! Then you go down, you grab your own seat, and you sit down, and you start eating. You eat your chalupa. Oh, I love those chalupas. Woo! Eat them things up, and your buddy looks at you like, dude, you're going to eat that cake? You're going to eat those fries, dude. I'm telling you, they're tasty. You'll never eat anything like them anywhere else than in the lunch, ladyland. So you snag that thing down, and you start eating them. You're like, ooh, it's good. You gobble them all up, but then when you go home that night and you start trying to go to bed, you're having a hard time sleeping that night. Thoughts of poisonous French fries are dancing in your head. Your stomach's a little unsettled because it's turning inside. You don't quite feel good about what you ate that day. But you go back the next day and you jump in the line and boom, there's that health official. Jeez, stop looking at me. He's like, you know the, you're like, I know. I heard what you said the last time. I got the word, brother. So you go forward, you're like, yo, semi, load him up. So you keep working down. You go out, you sit down, day after day after day, you just keep consuming. All of a sudden, you're sitting over on that one table. Woo, I love these. You forget, you're like, dude, I don't need those chalupas. You guys stay in your own seats. But then your buddy one day interrupts you in between classes, and you're just about to go into lunch one day, and he smacks you upside the head and goes, dude, what are you doing? You look nasty. Being around you, you stink. You don't smell good. You don't taste good. You don't. And I'm not going to tell you why I was tasting you, but You nasty. I don't like being around you anymore, but I love you enough to tell you, listen, you're blowing it. You need help. And I want to tell you this, that I was talking to that health official, that health inspector, and you know what she told me? She told me that there's a cure. There's a cure for the poisonous food that you're eating. You're like, yeah! You're like, dude, after lunch today, after I get my fries and my cake, dude, let's go talk to that chick. I'm ready. I'm ready for a change. You're right. Dude, I'm not smelling very good. I looked in the mirror the other day and, woo! I thought the mirror was cracking because the glass was weak, but maybe it was me. So, after lunch, your buddy comes in and you're just about to go out and you forgot all about it. He's like, dude, what about the health inspector? You're like, oh yeah, yeah. The cure, right? Oh yeah, I want that cure. So you go and you sit down, a little meeting after lunchtime, and the health inspector goes, listen, I'm assuming all of you are here for one reason, and that's to know about the cure for the poison that you've been eating, the poison you've been consuming. And you're like, yeah, that's going to be good. He goes, I want to let you know, she tells you, I want to let you know that the cure is simple. It's very simple. It's easy. It works 100% of the time on every single person. Every person that's done it, it's worked 100% of the time. You're like, dude, this sounds good. I can't wait to hear what this is. It's going to be easy every day. I can eat my cake, my french fries, take the little pill. Boom, I'm done. I'll just push in my arm. I'll be settled. This will be sweet. I'll be able to go to bed at night. I won't look so nasty anymore. Yeah. Just take that thing, just rub it all over me. It'll be good. But then the health inspector just begins to break it down a little bit. She just goes, okay, now listen. This is it. I don't want you to miss it. It's very simple. It's very simple. Are you ready? Like, yeah. You're on the edge of your seat. I'm ready. Tell me. She goes, listen. If you want to be cured, you've got to shut your mouth. What? She's like, listen. If you want to be cured, stop eating the poisonous food. Hold on a second. Wait a second. She goes, I know. It usually got to say this a couple times, so let me break it down for you. I know it's complicated. I said it was simple, but I know sometimes it can just sound complicated. Look, if you keep eating the poisonous food, then you'll die. If you want to be cured from the poison, the cure is to stop eating it. You just need to stop consuming the poison. And I promise you, 100% of the symptoms will go away. 100% of the problem will disappear. It works every time. Every single person that's tried it's done it. You think, this isn't going to be as easy as I thought. The cure doesn't... If I'm going to be cured, then I can't keep living the way I'm living? You mean that I have to change? Oh my. Your buddy grabs you by the hand and he drags you out. And you're like, dude, I didn't think it was going to be this hard. I thought I could keep eating the fries. I just thought that I could keep living the way I was living. But he says, no. This is the deal, bud. If you want to be healed, if you want to be cured, you have to stop sharing with other people this food that's poison. And you have to stop consuming it yourself. And then you'll be cured. So you sit down and you start thinking about this for a while. All alone in the lunchroom, thinking, can I do this? Should I do this? I want to read a scripture to you. Proverbs 26:20. It says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip or slander, a quarrel dies down. Without the poison going in your life, the symptoms go away. Without the poison in your life, the death stops working. It stops eroding your life like leprosy with Miriam. It stops eating your flesh away. As you're just trying to be born as a believer, you're trying to have life as a believer, but sin is eating away your spiritual life. Stop. Stop consuming it. When you hear gossip, you hear slander, stop. Say, no. I'm not going to share. I'm not going to take part in the poison that you're trying to feed me right now. I'm not going to do it because I got to live to a higher standard. When you feel like you need to share something, or you might want to share something, and you know something about somebody else, and you just want to tell somebody, stop. Don't begin to pour that poison and allow other people to drink it, because you're not only killing yourself, but you're killing your brother. Oh, just come eat those French fries. Come on, just come on, come on, come and eat that cake. You'll be fine. I'm telling you, if we live our lives this way, we are not Christians. Just want to be honest about it. I got to stand before God to give account for the words that I preach to you. You got to stand before God for the words that you preach and that you share and you say to others. Every word. I want you to know the truth. The Bible says in Psalms 140 verse 3, they make their tongues as sharp as the serpents. The poison of vipers is on their lips. The cure is simple. Listen. Repent. Repent. Repent to God for your slanderous words, for your gossip, for your slander against God. Repent to God for your slander against your friends, your parents, your authorities, your pastor, your teachers. Come on. Repent. Repent means to turn from your way. So the next point is to change your eating habits. Do not talk about others. And don't listen to others that talk about others. You can be the wall. You can be the iron curtain. You can be the one that sets the bar high, that sets the standard, says, no, listen, I don't care if you go talk about me and say that I'm religious. I don't care if you go slander me like they slandered Moses. I'm going to live to a standard that God says that I'm supposed to live at and that he says that I can. Just say no. Change your eating habits. Ask God to forgive you for your sin of gossip and slander. Then ask your brother who you sinned against to forgive you for your gossip and slander. You need to go back and pick up every feather you can find. You might not be able to get them all, but you're responsible for them. And you need to go back and you need to make it right in your community. Whether you've got to stand and make a public announcement, I don't care. If you got to go one by one to every person you think that might have heard, you need to go by and try to find that feather. And you need to repent. You need to ask for your forgiveness. You need to change the way you talk and what you talk about. You got to make it right. You just have to make it right. So here's three simple rules that you can live your life by, and I'll close by this. These three simple rules. If you must share what's going on, you need to run it by these three rules. First, is it true? Second, is it kind? Third, is it necessary? Is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary? The Bible says in Philippians, consider other people's interests greater than your own. Philippians 2. Is it real love? Is it kind to them? Is it as what is their best interest? Is it going to actually help build them? Are you destroying them? Is it true information? Is it even right? Do you even know? Well, I heard Tommy say that Bill said this, that Bob said that Miriam said this about Moses. And you're like, oh, it's got to be true. You saw it on an email? Oh, yeah. It's true. It's true. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Listen, there wouldn't be any gossip or slander if we just ask ourselves these three questions before we share anything about anybody with anyone. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:9, and we'll close with this. He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Do you want to be like Christ, to be like God, to live your life according to His Word, and bring people together and cover over with love an offense? Or do you want to separate not only yourself from God, but separate yourself from your community like Miriam? Will you stand with me? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. I thank You that Your Word has the power to change us. God, I pray that tonight we would be different. God, I pray that our lives would be challenged and changed forever by the Spirit of Your Word. Father, change people's lives tonight. God, I pray that You would bless Your people. Lord, You'd fill them with Your Spirit. God, that they would be full of Your power. They'd be empowered to live their lives according to Your Word. Father, they would never live their life the same. God, that their life will be lived to a higher standard, one that is in accordance with Your Word and that brings pleasure to Your heart. Father, bless them today. Give them the ability to just share their faith with their friends, to live their life out for You that communicates godliness, holiness, righteousness. Bless them today, God. Help them to stand firm in the midst of slander and gossip. Help them to be a light to this world with their words. God, I pray that Your love would empower them today in Jesus' name. Amen.